Now it's time for our weekly chat with Labor MP Andrew Little.
This week with Health Minister Andrew Little, I asked him about his thoughts on National's COVID-19 plan and a report he received from the Association of Salaried Medical Specialists on health equity. But I began by talking about the results of the stock take on the $1.9 billion mental health rollout.
We had the report on the kind of stock take of the implementation of the 2019 package of initiatives. That's the $1.9 billion package of mental health initiatives. And that report said a couple of things. It said broadly a lot of the stuff is on track, particularly the stuff that's putting more frontline mental health workers into GP clinics, community clinics, and so on. They were critical of the slow pace of getting the building, the facilities that were part of that package constructed. And we know, and that's been a frustration that I've expressed before now. So they've made some recommendations about how to improve that. Another improvement they said is better sort of reporting. Before the report had come out, I'd taken the step of putting in an external assurance group that is chaired by Judy McGregor, who chairs the Waitemata District Health Board and has a number of other people on it, including those with lived experience. So where we're at now is that program of work. Look, it's still going really well, but I think we've got a better chance of fully completing that full program of work over the next 2 years, which is when it was scheduled to be completed. We've also announced some extra funding. So we had community grants for organisations doing mental health support, mainly for young people. So we set up a $1 million fund during the middle of the lockdown. We had so many good applications, we increased that to $1.4 million. So a number of organisations now are getting extra funding to provide that extra support for young people. And then just yesterday we announced the additional funding for Rainbow Youth Mental Health Initiatives. So organisations dealing with Rainbow young people are now getting additional funding to do their work of being available and providing support. So yeah, a number of things going on.
So the Stocktick report, like you said, mentioned the ministry was slow to build some mental health units. And well, the money's there, but why is it? Does it take this slow for the ministry to implement it?
Yeah, it is the thing across the health sector when there's a building project going on. There's what tends to happen is a project is agreed to in principle and the funding is provided. So we do that, and it's only then that the detailed business planning and so on gets underway, putting the business case together, getting plans and stuff sorted out. It's a odd way of doing it. I would have thought at the time that you're applying for funding, you'd have a lot of your plans sort of sorted, the place where you're going to build it sorted, those sorts of things. I mean, in one of the cases of the projects, the DHB, whose project it is, had not even worked out where they wanted that particular facility. So that sort of stuff doesn't help. And in some respects too, it's also that with 20 DHBs, not every DHB is going to have a highly qualified project manager who can pull all that together. And that's, I think, one of the problems that we've got, is that we just don't have the number of people with the required skills, particularly for large construction projects, to be able to pull that all together. So when it comes to these projects, a lot of things have slowed it down. It is a priority for us. I'm satisfied with the steps that have been taken that will now mean that we can get those projects going and construction commencing next year.
Like you said, there is no project manager at some DHBs. Well, the last week we talked about the 10-year plan, Kia Manawarui Aotearoa. Is this going to be part of that plan as well to resolve that?
Kia Manawarui is really about the service provision and where we want to get to, and a change of approach. Really, really putting greater emphasis on the need for community support initiatives, as opposed to medicalising everything and people going off to a hospital for their mental health support and care. Obviously, there are going to be some people who are so unwell. Of course, they'll need hospital level care. But for a lot of people, who experience mental distress, have a challenge in their life, and life goes a bit out of control. Actually, a lot of the support and care they need can be provided in the community and while they're still living at home. So Kia Manawanui was really flagging that shift of emphasis. So it doesn't really say much more about how to kind of accelerate construction of facilities. we do need to get these facilities done because, as I say, they are for people who are very unwell, people at the more acute end of mental health need. But I'm pleased that now we've got steps in place to get that stuff underway.
Okay. Moving on to my second topic of the day. Now, the opposition yesterday and the day before have announced their own version of their COVID plans. Now, National said yesterday it would open up travel with the outside world once we are 85%. Once our fully vaccination rate hits 85%, and they will scrap lockdowns at 70 to 75% rate of vaccinations. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I think certainly the 70 75% rate vaccination rate is still too low. I mean, we know that from the modelling we've seen, and look, and there are different modellers who have different outcomes, but by and large, and when you look around other countries in the world, at 70 to 75%, there's still a large unvaccinated population. And even the vaccinated population, even though being vaccinated means that you won't get as seriously affected, if you are infected with the virus, you will still get sick. And so there are still a large number of people who will get sick. Some will require hospital-level care and some will require intensive care. And part of the challenge we've got is that if that is the case, we basically have to free up our hospitals because we just don't know how many people are going to get so sick they will need that sort of level of care, and that has implications for then your planned care, you know, your elective surgeries and stuff. So I just think it's too risky, I think. I mean, I get the point about 85%, but that's why we talk about trying to achieve 90% plus. The more highly vaccinated we are, the less risky it is, particularly for the unvaccinated population, but even for those who are vaccinated, the more likely it is that they can recover from home. And we still need to set up support services for that. So if you're recovering at home with COVID, I would expect that you will still have, you know, a health worker calling you each day, checking in, checking you're okay. We have those oximeters too that measure your oxygen levels, because that's the critical thing. If your oxygen levels fall, then actually you might wind up having to go to hospital. I mean, parts of the other proposal that talk about, look, we will just add more nurses, we'll add more ICU capacity, we'll build more things by Christmas, we're frankly just pie in the sky stuff. I mean, and the reality about the National Party is their track record on health and putting money into public health is absolutely and utterly abysmal. And I would not trust them when they say that they're going to suddenly plough a whole lot more money into public health, because their track record in office is that they just don't do it.
Right, 90% of vaccination rates. Are you confident that New Zealand just will hit that before the traffic light system that the Prime Minister announced back in August next year? Do you think we will hit that rate before then?
We're going to do everything we can to do so. I mean, we will hit 80%. That's totally achievable. I think we'll work very hard, and we can achieve 85% with a lot of extra effort. Getting to 90% will require an extraordinary amount of extra effort. But we still have, you know, a few weeks up our sleeve to really make that effort, which is what is happening right now. But look, we are going to, you know, the more highly vaccinated we get, then the expectations are that we do remove restrictions, and I think that is right. But we do need to know that if there are outbreaks in the future, that we have the measures in place to be able to respond to minimise, further infection to other people. And this is the balancing act that we're constantly dealing with.
Okay, moving to my final topic of the day. Now, this week you received a health equity report by the Association of Salaried Medical Specialists that said it will take more than a century for Maori life expectancy to catch up with Pākehā. So what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think the proposition was that if we did nothing else, if we do nothing else on our current trajectory, then it would take that long for true health equity. Well, we are doing different things and establishing the Māori Health Authority and giving them some real power and some, you know, tēnoranga, tēnatanga, to be honest, is what is going to make the difference. There are some amazing Māori health leaders in New Zealand, and they will be given the opportunity through the structures we're setting up to really provide leadership and really drive initiatives that are going to make a big difference for Māori and for Māori life expectancy. And working in conjunction with Health New Zealand, whether it's Māori, whether it's Pacific, whether it's other vulnerable population groups, we'll have the basis, I think, in a way we haven't had before, to really drive improvements in health and well-being in a way we haven't done before. I mean, we've signalled that a very clear shift has got to go to primary community care and stop the kind of the privileging the secondary and tertiary care, important as it is, but the real gains are what you do for people when they first become unwell and just getting those basic health checks in place, and that will be the emphasis, and the Māori Health Authority will very much lead the way in that.
Most of the recommendations the report gave to you are outside of your of the health portfolio, but some of them include making GP visits free and more free dentist visits. So is that something that you would like to see happening?
Look, I mean, those things are always, they're always kind of nice to have. It's not our not government policy or Labor policy at this point. Whatever we can do to make it easier to get access to healthcare in that primary kind of stage is absolutely vital, and we will continue to work on that. In terms of dental care, it is one of the big gaps in our public health policy. We just don't have good support, except up to the age of 18, we don't have good support for dental health care. So, look, those are areas of ongoing need and interest that we have to follow through. But you're right about the other issues too. Good health isn't just about our health services. It's about decent housing. It's about having a job. It's about being free of domestic and family violence. It's the environment in which you live. All those things are absolutely crucial, which is what the report says, and they're right about that. And we need to be, you know, doing our work on all fronts to make it healthier for people.
That was Labor MP Andrew Little. The Wire.